So lesson 43. I would not read the verses, and this is your job. Don't forget, in this training, 50% of this training, the burden is on my shoulders here, but the other 50% is on your shoulders. So you must, brothers, continue with your small group, dive into these things, get into the verses. We're going to get into the whole matter of truth in this module, a very, very important module. And you will find again and again Brother Lee's point. It is this, that he said even there are shortcuts in the growth in life, but there's no shortcut in being constituted with the truth. There's no easy way. The only way is time and labor and getting into the Word to study. Not just to read, but to study. And I hope through this module, I would, by the Lord's mercy, be successful to imbue you, all of you, with a fresh and strong and lasting, even a lifelong desire to become a student, a serious student of the truth, of the divine truth. You do not take the Word of God anymore in a casual way, in an easygoing way, which is easy to do, even for a leading brother. I have, observed certain leading brothers. They stand up and either they do the opening word or the closing word in the prophesying, or they share something. I tell you, just by three sentences out of their mouth, I know where they are in the matter of truth. Some, they just are, they can toss around these church colloquialism or church speak, even the latest one. But I know they don't know what they're talking about. Even by one vocabulary or one word use, it betrays them that they really don't know the truth in the way of cutting it straight, according to Timothy. They just say those words. They've been around long enough. They know those few words. If you string them together, that would be, most saints will be okay with that. But that is not, that is another kind of cheating. So I want to really imbue you all with all of you brothers, with a fresh, serious attitude in your pursuit of the truth, which is really, really a lifelong matter. Not all of us will become that kind of elder. Even Paul said, some elders, they labor in the Word of God, they're worthy of double honor. Am I right? So I understand that. We don't expect every one of us to be equally knowledgeable or be giving the same amount of time. But in the main, brothers, there's still some ways to go for us. And I speak especially a word to the younger brothers who are being brought into the leadership everywhere. I especially want you to not be the kind of brother who wing it. You know the word? Yeah. They can just stand up and wing it. They didn't get into the word. They didn't really study. They just come and wing it because they know what to say already. Just take a peek at the one day of the Holy Word for morning revival. Oh, he who's joined to the Lord is one spirit. I heard that 40 years ago. I'll just say something about he who's joined to the Lord is one spirit. When they really, really did not study that verse in the context of that chapter or that message, what is the point? So you are just satisfied with a superficial understanding even of the truth in the Lord's recovery. Now, this is a lot better than out there in the realm of Christianity where, you know, I still from time to time turn on my radio in the car to listen to some preachers. just so that I know what the market is like out there or the situation. I tell you, there are two kinds. This one kind, same old, just the same old. In fact, they play some same old things from 40 years ago. You know, old-time favorite radio shows and so forth. So old stuff. Then you have some new generation. They are trying to get something new, and actually more and more people are picking up what we have. I can tell. I have an ear. I have my antennas up. And so I know they didn't get it anywhere except from the ministry, except without a credit, with giving credit. It seems to be a popular modus operandi to freely borrow without giving credit. You know, some deeper things and so on. But yet, the problem is this. While they pick up a few things here and there from the ministry, Watchman Nee or Witness Lee, they just use it to fit their sermon. Yeah. And so it is still in a off kind of context. Are you following me? Yeah. It is still not the pure truth. It is just something to support their thesis, their burden, or their kind of a thing, which is still at a low realm, or a very superficial realm of study. I just recently heard back again Chuck Smith, you know, big time Calvary Chapel. He's passed away, and he gave his own Bible study, the whole Bible. And I recently read. Listen, what was he speaking from? He was speaking from John 14. Now, that is one of the deepest chapter in the Bible and in the New Testament, bar none. Right? You agree with me?
Yeah.
Actually, it is not just chapter 14. It's 14, 15, 16, 17 as a whole section, ending with chapter 17 being the highest peak with the Lord's Prayer. And when I listen to him verse by verse, I just say, he's not even scratching the surface. Not talking about diving into the depth. He's not even scratching the surface. Of course, that was 30 years ago or whatever. And today, let me assure you, brothers, it's not much better everywhere. And by the way, talking about the burden for outreach of propagating the word of the truth, brothers, quote, quote, let me say this, the market is ours. You know, when you go out there, you will not have a competing salesman, because there's no salesman out there selling what we have. We are the only people selling this product. And yet we're not going out. Even we tell ourselves, this product won't sell. Now, if you are that employee, you're out the door. This marketing department would not have people with that kind of unbelief of your own product. And this is the only product sold by this company worldwide. And you say, people won't buy it. Then you shouldn't be in this company. You should be doing something else. You follow me? Yes. Brothers, I want to impress you. What we have is phenomenal.
Amen.
If you still don't believe that this ministry of the age has brought, what it has brought us, is we are understanding the truth. If I may say so, we can talk eye to eye with Brother Paul and understand each other. How many people today will speak on, for me to live is Christ? And they may quote that, but they don't know what they are saying. To magnify Christ in my body, that Christ may be formed in me. What does that mean? Even few would talk about Christ lives in me. They say that, but what does that mean? Galatians 2:20, a very popular verse. Brothers, I tell you, what we have is, it's common, it's universal, it's divine, it's God's gift for all men, and somehow, almost like only we really understand it. We have the interpretation, proper interpretation of these things, and yet we hide it. we don't go out and tell the people about it. There are people who have, who would have no interest in these things, for sure. But there are plenty of people who do.
Amen.
We need to go, brothers.
Amen.
We need to go. Many, many. Okay. All right. Let's get back. Let's come back to cover this matter. First of all, seeing a vision of the divine truth. We have to start from here. As leading brothers, we need a refreshed vision of the divine truth itself. Now, these verses are all key verses. You know, 2:4, 1 Timothy, God desires all men not only to be saved, but to come to the full knowledge of the truth. 3:15, the church being the pillar and the base of the truth. 2 Timothy, all scripture is God-breathed. And then chapter 2:15, that is cutting straight the word of the truth. John 17:17, it is on what? God's word being the truth that sanctifies us. Sanctifies us with your truth. Your word is truth. And I won't quote these verses from the epistles of John, all center around the matter of the truth. Number one, the Lord's recovery is mainly founded on four pillars. You must remember that. Truth, life, the church, and the gospel. Truth is always number one. You take away this pillar, you take away the main pillar of the Lord's recovery. Without truth, the Lord's recovery does not exist. Plainly. The Lord's recovery was founded and is still supported firmly, solidly by the divine truth in the divine revelation, which is the Word of God. Now, you are a leading brother, a responsible brother, in a church, in the Lord's recovery, and then how can you be ignorant or be lacking in the knowledge of this truth? It simply does not work. Knowing the truth is not optional for a leading brother. Now, the degree may be relative, but to know the fundamental and the crucial truth, dare I say, even some of the deeper truth that are given to us today, is a must. You are shepherding the saints. You're building them up in a genuine church life that befits the testimony of the Lord's recovery. It must be a church life full of truth, full of the practice of the truth, full of the knowledge of the truth, full of our walking in that truth. Huge, big subject, but I will just leave it there. Two, the first great pillar in the Lord's recovery is the truth. Is the truth. A, the Lord's recovery is the recovery of the divine truths as revealed in the Word of God. Okay? Where are the divine truths found? Only in one place. The Scriptures. The Scriptures. The Scriptures is our ultimate authority. The Scripture is the place, the only place where we believe the divine truth can be found, nowhere else. The Lord's recovery has always been based on the Scriptures. Now, I know that Southern Baptists say, back to the Bible. Back to the Bible. We absolutely subscribe to that. Fully back to the Bible. When they said amen, we would go back even from the creeds to the Bible. You know, there are these creeds, the Nicene today called the Apostolic Creed, is sort of the main creed, and there will be other minor creeds there are, and they would, the creeds become like the statement of faith of the general Christianity. But brothers, we're not subscribing to creeds. I tell you, even the Nicene Creed is incomplete. 325, it's incomplete. By that time, a number of crucial books in the New Testament has not yet been canonized, including the book of Revelation, am I right? And Hebrews, am I right? A few other books, seven books or so. So it is also a creed that does not talk about the seven spirits, for example, the life-giving spirit, which is huge, huge in the main truth related to the triune God, but it is not found in the creed. So they went back from the creed, as it were, back to the Bible. But we're not just leaving the creed and going back to the Bible as a slogan. We really, in all these years, we suffered. We fought. We were opposed because we stick to the Bible. We really mean it, that we derive everything from these truths that are embedded in the Lord's Word. So, brothers, that means you need to love the Word. And I hate to say this to leading brothers, but I feel I have to say it because some of us don't even love the Word of God. And you're a leading brother. You don't love the Word. You just have it in your bag, and nowadays in your cell phone or smartphone. Do you love the Word? Do you live and breathe, live by the Word? Do you revere and honor the Word? Do you study the Word of God? Or you just kind of use it as a book of Proverbs that you conveniently pull a word out to strengthen your sermon, your message? Or you just are happy and contented to know this in a very, very superficial and outward way? There's no substitute, brothers, than a deep diving. But you have to have an attitude to care, to know this word as a starting point. I find, many leading brothers, they're more in love with administrating the church. Faithful, really faithful, and really given. Coming to the word, no interest. Like, that's not important. I just do my work and make sure the finances, this, that, this, the word, somebody else's business. Brother Lee's business. And I just kind of casually take a look at the Holy Word or whatever. And then I'm an elder. I don't know what kind of elder that is. That surely does not match the Lord's recovery. Again, I say, I don't mean every one of us is a theological student. I don't mean that. I don't mean every one of us would be so knowledgeable. I don't mean that. But at least you must love the Word. And how often do you leave the saints to love the Word? If you don't love it, you won't have time. You'll give all kinds of announcements. Do this, do that. You never would take some time. Brothers and sisters, did you read the Bible this week? Because you don't read it. You don't even have a conscience to tell people, or the habit, or the sense of burden to ask people to read it. You see. Okay. Go on. The Lord's Word, His truth, is in the Bible, but the Bible needs the proper interpretation. And I think that's done for us. I'm so thankful to the Lord. This word is more than open. This word is what? More than unlocked, this word is interpreted. Now, I don't know how many billions of dollars I would put on that interpretation. I would value. You know, today you go and value companies. I'm going to value the interpreted word among us. And I couldn't even put a dollar sign on it. It is invaluable. Unvaluable. It is, I mean, to be able to know the Lord speaking through the interpretation of his servants, it is the greatest gift there is. But do you treasure it? You know, all these books in your library, or even there's, I don't know how many books in your library, or whether you have a library at all, or it's just collecting dust. I don't know. I don't know, brothers. I speak very boldly. I speak very honestly. Brothers, you need a change. You need a change. You need to devote every day some time, even if the saints don't, to have the word. And today, it's all interpreted. You don't need to get the concordance and get the go buy these commentaries. It's done for you. Now you can, but it's all there. The recovery version, the footnotes, the cross references. You don't know how much I depend on the cross references. The outlines, the life studies, the crystallization studies, brothers, it's all there. The thing is, you got to spend time. But the only way you'll spend time is if you care. So the bottom line is whether you love, you treasure, you honor this thing called the truth, which is the base of the Lord's recovery. See, the truth is absolute in itself, and we must be absolute for the truth. If you are not constituted with the truth, then actually you cannot shore up your church as a leading brother. We all should be part of that base by being constituted with the truth. And much less will you be able to be absolute for the truth. If it's something that you don't really believe in, you hold dear, you won't die for it. Today, you know, we have kids going out there to die for freedom, am I right? To die for liberty, to get in harm's way, because liberty is a human truth that we hold dear, Americans, or democracy, am I right? That's why people will spill blood for it. And if you don't hold this dear, I won't die for this. Who would die for someone else's freedom in the Middle East? But we're sending kids over there to do that. Will you die for this truth? Will you be absolute for this truth? In these turmoils in the church life over the years, eventually, it is the truth that preserve the recovery, that save and rescue the recovery. It's not persons, it's not human beings. And if the truth is knocked out, and that's why all the arrows point to the ministry, to knock out, always to knock out the ministry, and it cut off the supply of this truth, of this interpreted word, and then I tell you, the recovery will fall apart. But it cannot just be the ministry itself. We have to benefit from this ministry to know this truth and be absolute for the truth. The truth is absolute. By definition, truth, the truth in the word is absolute. There's no compromise. There's no adding. There's no deletion. It is perfect. It is absolute. We must be absolute for the truth by walking in the truth. D. The standard of the Lord's recovery depends upon the standard of the truth we put out. The truth will be the measure and the standard. Again, what is our measure and standard in the Lord's recovery? It is the truth. It is the truth. It's not what you say. Or it's not my opinion. That doesn't count. That doesn't mean much. The truth is what counts. Even in administrating the church, even in shepherding the saints. And I don't mean to apply truth in a legalistic way, you know. That is boiling a kid in the mother's milk. We need to be wise. We need to be proper. But I do mean the eventual base is still the Word of God. The Word of God. Alright? E. We need to have the truth wrought into us and constituted into our being. So we use this word wrought, we use this word constituted. That means we need the truth becoming part of us. Part of us. You know, today there are these people who are PhD in this field or that field. Those people have that stuff constituted in them. They open their mouth, it just flows out. Am I right? Whatever field they're studying. They're day in day out doing experiments. They are dreaming about those things. They go to forums and seminars to speak those things, they present papers on those things. They are pickled, they are constituted, they're wrought with that particular field of knowledge of their study. That's what it means. We need to be constituted with the truth likewise. We need to become PhDs, or at least master degree, with these deeper truth. And the only way is you spend time. Thinking, studying, right? There's no substitute for that. All right. One, and don't say, just pray, Lord, constitute me with your truth. That doesn't work. Lord, I'm here, Lord. I'm available. No. The Lord says, stop stupid prayer. Go open your Bible now. Spend an hour in that life study, then you will answer your own prayer. Number one, to be constituted with the truth is to have the intrinsic element of the divine revelation wrought into us to become our constituent, our intrinsic being, our organic constitution. I won't belabor these things, okay? Two, the solid truth that is constituted into us becomes in us a constant and long-term nourishment. Now, brothers, 2 points here I'd like to stress. Number one point is the study of the truth, the constitution of the truth, is not just a matter of exercising your spirit. It is very much a matter of the exercise of your mind, of your renewed mind. So don't just go to the Word with your spirit. That's called prayer reading. That's okay. We need that. Very much. But I'm here talking about constitution. You need the Word coming into your mind, filling your mind, even staying in your mind as part of your memory, part of your permanent imprinted memory of the Word of God. When that happens, that's constitution. Now, of course, without the Spirit, that can become dead knowledge. But I think somewhat in the recovery, we fell into a little bit of a trap for many years now. And because of the strong rejection of knowledge, doctrines, teachings, we confuse that to think that, therefore, we don't need to study. We don't need to use our mind. We just, by some mysterious way, just the truth will seep into us, you know. Wrong, brothers. Wake up from that. We are not here for the dead teachings and the dead doctrines. But brothers, if you need the Constitution, amen, and so do I. And the only way is to study. Amen. And to study anything, you must use your mind. This truth must get into our mind and fill our mind. And of course, there's the aspect of the life in this truth, the light in this truth, the illumination in our spirit, the understanding, all of these things. But I will tell you, you have to get it into your head, so to speak. You must get it into your understanding. Many times the Lord opened the disciples' understanding. Why it does not say the Lord quickened their spirit? No, quickening of the spirit does not equal to the opening of understanding. And here the second point is that what? Once something is constituted into you, especially in your good memory, they become a constant long-term nourishment. Otherwise, even what you pray read can become, can evaporate, can become vapor, long term. That doesn't mean you did not benefit from it. You did, but for the instant, for a short period of time. I'm here talking about long term supply, long term nourishment. It's a kind of a reservoir, like a bear that hibernate for months and still do not die because there is a nourishment built into his system that can what? That can supply it. All right. Too often, you know, I'm in bed or I'm faced with a situation. There's no Bible, no nothing. I tell you, the storage of the word will come out. To nourish me, to enlighten me. And even, I would say, sometimes the Lord would, many times would use that to direct me. And that's not some angel coming, you know, and speak in my ear kind of crazy thing. No, it is something that is constituted into me over time. So that is not magical. That is not miraculous. That is very, very normal, okay? We need this, brothers. We all need this. If the truth is wrought into us and constituted into our being, we will be able to protect the interests of the riches of God's divinity and the attainments of his consummation. I won't get into the depth of these meaning, but anyway, the point is we need to be the truth knowers and the truth possessors in order for us to protect the interests of the Lord's recovery, including your local church. What if a wolf comes? What if the wrong person comes to seek to undermine and destroy? If Paul did not know God's economy, he would not have written the epistle to tell Timothy, tell them, don't preach their stuff. You know, their Judaistic, Gnostic stuff. Tell them to shut up and preach and speak the God's economy which is in faith. If Paul is not constituted, he will never write such a letter. And the church will be gone. Okay, three. The church is the supporting pillar and holding base of the truth, a verse we all know. But let's look and see how meaningful this is. The church, your local church, is part of a pillar and base that supports and holds the truth. You know, one time I use this example. Okay, let's say this is the truth, right? This is the truth. So I have this idea, it's like the Statue of Liberty, you know? So this is the truth, or that flame, and then my hand is holding the truth. You know what I mean? I found out after a while, that's wrong. No, that's not holding the truth. You know what is holding the truth? Is that all my arm, all my being is constituted with the truth. And I'm standing here. I'm holding the truth. I am the truth. I am, are you following me? I'm not holding the truth as an objective thing apart from me. When I am not in truth, I just hold it. No, to hold it means you are filled with it. You, by standing, hold the truth. Are a testimony of that truth. So it requires constitution. Okay, A, the Lord wants the church to know him as the truth in order to testify concerning him as the truth. This is our testimony. We're still holding forth this truth in this world of deceit and lies, am I right? And untruth. This whole world is full of it. And the church is the unique place that holds the unique truth in this universe. So the church has to know the Lord as the truth. B, truth in 1 Timothy 3:15 refers to the real things revealing God's word, which are mainly Christ as the embodiment of God and the church as the body of Christ. Christ and the church are the key items of the truth, or the real things, or the reality revealed in God's word. C, but to say Christ and the church is easy. Do you know Christ? How much Christ do you know? Do you know the church? How much church do you know? You see, it's deep. It's almost unfathomable. It is all-inclusive and all-extensive. Too much for us to get into. See, the truth is a triune God, having Christ as the embodiment, center, and expression to produce the church as the body of Christ, the house of God, and the kingdom of God. I better not get into this. This is the truth. This is the truth. And all the things therein is the truth. Did you study the Trinity? You know, in those years of fighting, one good thing is we got into the Trinity. I mean it was, I shouldn't say wonderful, but it was wonderful. I mean, brotherly speaking, on the Trinity was like the noonday. I don't think anyone has ever spoken on the matter of the triune God like Brother Lee. No. I really mean that. You think about it. Many have written books, theologies, and tomes of book on the triune God. But my goodness, it just, you have to study that. You have to know all the different schools of thought. You have to know the error. You have to know the heresies. You have to know these things. You have to know what the pure revelation of the triune God is. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit, so on and so forth. All right? D, the church bears Christ as the reality. The church testifies to the whole universe that Christ and Christ alone is the reality. E, as the pillar which bears the truth and the base which upholds the pillar, the church testifies the reality, the truth of Christ as the mystery of God, and the church as the mystery of Christ. F, the kind of church that we build up depends on the kind of truth that we teach. That's why all the churches should follow this ministry. because this ministry brings to us that particular kind or brand of truth, which is of the highest and deepest order in the Word. You try. I challenge you. You say, I don't like this stuff. Okay, go. Show me your stuff. I challenge. Anyone, show me what you have and put it next to this ministry. Then you follow. Then we decide what to follow. Thus, there is a desperate need of the living truth to produce the church, to help the church to exist, and to build up the church. Brothers, truth, truth, truth. I think some of us actually need to be a little bit less active in some other things and devote some more hours to study the truth. I think a number of us really need to do that. And you're already middle age. Your memory is kind of, you know, going downhill. And by the way, one help is the middle age training. Go there for 1 year. Get away from everything else and just be in the Word of God. I really mean it. That will give you a new lease in your service. In your service. Okay. G, in the church life, we all need to come to the full knowledge of the truth. The word is full. It means complete. It means perfect knowledge of the truth. One, every believer should have a full knowledge, a complete realization of the real things revealed in the Word of God. Two, the full knowledge of the truth is a thorough apprehension of the truth, a full acknowledgement and appreciation of the reality of all the spiritual and divine things that we have received through faith. Three, to cut the word of the truth, cut straight the word of the truth is to unfold without bias or distortion the reality of God's economy revealed in the New Testament. I don't think it is too much to say today, most biblical interpretation are biased or distorted or prejudiced in a certain kind of way, according to their denomination, according to their beliefs. It is just to be adulterated, maybe too much of an adjective, but certainly biased. Where do you find the proper, pure, unbiased, nonpartisan interpretation of the word? Not easy to find. Not easy to find. And that has to be the truth that is according to God's economy. God's economy. H, the greatest need that we must meet is to bring the saints into the truth. All the saints should be trained in the divine revelation. Do you know one main work of a leading brother is actually to bring the saints into the truth? Actually, brothers, I didn't tell you, I have a burden. While we talk about the increase, you know, this and that, to seriously bring the majority of the saints in the whole Northern California into a multi-year plan to get into the truth. Again, not thing miraculous, nothing overnight, but serious study, so that in Northern California, all the saints will become little scholars, little teachers of the word. And that will greatly facilitate and enhance our gospel work and our shepherding work, which is also based on the truth. I really think so. I don't know how many saints here read the life studies in a regular way or have finished the life studies, or are they just subsisting on the Holy Word for morning revival, like that's the maximum. No, that is the minimum. Holy Word for Morning Revival is the minimum, not the maximum. Now, please don't go and use this to beat the saints. I'm not speaking to them. I'm speaking to you. Okay, H, the great, okay. One, we all need to be helped through the recovery version with the footnotes and the life studies, because this is in the 80s, speaking, to see the intrinsic significance of the word of the Bible. Two, the life studies are the openers. They open the Bible and bring us into the Bible. Many of us who were sitting at the feet of Brother Lee to listen to this live for years and years will take eternity to thank the Lord for such an opportunity. I mean, not only reading it later on, but directly receiving that year after year. And sometimes it is sleep-inducing. Even Brother Lee speaking. I still remember, like in books like, some of the prophecy books. My goodness, it's really sleep-inducing. Isaiah, you know, Jeremiah and all those things. And sometimes in Leviticus, you know, it's very sleep-inducing. Brother Lee one time said this, and I always like to say it. The life studies, you don't enjoy the life studies, you endure the life studies. But he who endure will be safe at the end. Those who enjoy will not make it. Because enjoy means when you feel like it. Endure means this is a school. Any one of us got your degree because you love it? You enjoy college? I didn't. I endure college. And I got a degree, a couple of degrees. You see the point? We need a change in our mind. All right? Okay. Three. Can we read it together? I consider our writings as I believe that those of you who have read the life study messages can testify honestly that these messages with the notes of the recovery version have opened up a certain chapter or a certain book of the Bible to you. This is not to replace the Bible, but to bring people into the dissenters among us in the 80s. Someone from Hong Kong, especially. No Bibles, no life studies. He was anti-life studies. We need to come back to the pure word of the Bible. So throw away all your life studies, just read the pure word. Chinese, 清读圣经啊. They are so pure that there's nothing there. Yeah, you can read. But tell me how much you understand. You go read. And you give me a message. My goodness, these are people with an agenda. There's a motive in saying these things. To undermine our love for the ministry. Brothers, don't believe all that stuff. I need the life study to understand the Bible. I need this ministry from these brothers to know the Word of God. They help me not to just follow the ministry. They help me to what? Get into the Bible. And to love and understand it even more. Number four, all saints are responsible to uphold the truth. A, the supporting pillar and holding base of the truth are the entire church, including all the saints. This is why we have a responsibility to lead the saints into the truth. Every member of the church is part of the pillar and base that uphold the truth. B, the church being the pillar and the base of the truth implies that every member of the church should know the truth. Thus, we should make a decision to learn the truth, including the sisters. Just as we set a goal for 10 years, doubling the number, I like to set a goal for in 10 years for the churches to finish X number of life studies. How about that? That's also a very important goal. What do you think? Do you think most saints have read through all the life studies? Hardly. Hardly. When we say the recovery is rich beyond measure, they're not talking about themselves, they're talking about Brother Lee, you know, or some brothers. All the saints should know the truth. Okay. They should make a decision even to learn the truth. Most of the saints probably do not have a deep sense that they're responsible to bear the truth to the church, including every believer must uphold the truth. Three, the saints in the churches need to respect the leading ones. But if the leading ones do not do something contrary to the truth, the saints should be responsible to uphold the truth. The leading ones are not the real leaders. You know who? What is the real leader among us? The apostles' teaching. Our leader is the apostles' teaching, and there's a book on that. It's not personal. Our constitution, this country is built on the constitution. The presidents will come and go. Constitution remains here. All right? No matter, okay, B, we should not care for the person, but for the truth, and always be ready to uphold the truth. We don't fight with people. We fight for the truth. For in order for the church to be strong, every brother and sisters must uphold the truth by learning the truth, experiencing the truth, and being able to speak the truth to some degree, at least to some degree. See, to understand what it means to uphold the truth, we may consider the example of Paul in Galatians 2, 11 through 16. One, Paul saw that Peter did something contrary to the truth in shrinking back from eating with the Gentiles. You know that story. Paul rebuked Peter because he was doing something contrary to the truth. Thus, Peter was upholding the truth. In this situation, Paul was a pillar and base of the truth. D, if we learn the truth and practice the truth in the daily church life, we all will be able to bear some responsibility in upholding the truth. Every truth has two sides. It's called the twofoldness of the divine truth. Okay, Robert Gravett, I think, there's a very famous book. You should get a hold of that. The twofoldness. Oh, is it one of our books? It's not Brother Nee, huh? Brother Nee has something similar. A similar title to that. Get it. It's very, very important. We need to hold both sides of every truth in order to be balanced. We must always learn, guard, and uphold the truth.